You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it's Friday the 4th of December 2020. I'm Ricardo Gonçalves. This is SBS On The Money for, I just told you the date, that's what it is. It's your 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Later, we will be speaking with one leading fund manager about the market in 2021. But first, let's go to retail sales, up 1.4% in October, according to the Australian Bureau of Statistics. The result driven by Victoria, turnover now 7% higher than a year ago. So for more on that, plus where all the discounts are, I spoke earlier with Shane Oliver, the Chief Economist at AMP Capital. Shane, what does the strength of the retail sales numbers out today say about where we are in the economic recovery?
It's basically yet another indicator that tells us the Australian economy is recovering a lot faster than many had expected just a few months ago. We've seen car sales now, housing-related data, and of course retail sales all telling us that the economy is recovering pretty quickly. We know that happened in the September quarter from the GDP numbers a couple of days back, but of course this data relates to the December quarter and tells us that recovery is still continuing.
So the retail sales data also includes, obviously, you know, all Australia and Victoria, which was going through these harsh lockdowns and coming out of lockdown. So how did Victoria contribute?
Victoria was the main driver of this rise. Retail sales were up 1.4%. In Victoria, they were up 5.1%. Other states were 1% growth or less.
Shane, what do we know about retail prices and what consumers are paying? Because we've got all this government stimulus. Are shoppers paying full price or are there discounts out there?
At the moment, the discounts are still out there, and that partly reflects the competition that retailers are seeing. Traditional bricks and mortar retailing, despite the fact that department store sales rose 4.5% in October, they're still struggling relative to online providers of retail goods. And so that's leading to ongoing competition, if you like. Now, of course, if you're in areas like office equipment, electronics and so on, the competition has been somewhat less because there's been just so much demand. But in many other parts of retailing, particularly clothing, for example, the competition remains immense due to online purchasing. And that, of course, is keeping overall price levels down. So some areas people might find they're paying a little bit more, particularly when it comes to office-related equipment. But when it comes to most other consumer items, there's still a lot of discounting going on.
As we know from the national accounts earlier this week, consumers are holding on to $1 in every $5 that they're earning, right? So the household savings ratio is pretty high. What do you expect them to be doing with that extra dollar when the government stimulus measure starts to be unwound?
I reckon they've kept that money aside for precautionary reasons. Australians have been cautious given the uncertainty about the recovery. But now that the recovery is coming through, that we've recovered about 75% of the lost jobs that we saw earlier this year, I think the bulk of that money is going to start getting spent, to be honest with you. Typically, Australians retain about 5 to 10% of their income. Now, of course, as you say, they're retaining $1 in $5 or 20% of their income. That I guess, tells me there's a lot of pent-up demand there. So as the government stimulus payments are wound down, I expect that some of that money will actually be spent and that will keep the recovery going.
Okay, the Australian dollar, it's at a 27-month high against the US. Why?
The Aussie dollar is going up because that's what often happens when there's a global economic recovery and Australia recovering at the same time. The Aussie dollar is basically a cyclical currency. It goes up. When share markets are happy, when there's confidence about growth, the Aussie dollar goes up. When share markets are not happy and there's a lack of confidence, the Aussie dollar goes down. That's exactly what we saw into March when the Aussie dollar fell to 55 cents in the midst of the panic around the coronavirus shutdowns. Now with confidence emerging globally and in Australia, that's putting upwards pressure on commodity prices, downwards pressure on the safe haven US dollar, and that combined is putting upwards pressure on the value of the Aussie dollar. So having broken above that 74 cent level, I reckon the Aussie dollar's on its way to 80 cents over the course of the next 12 months. Not in a straight line, but I reckon in 12 months' time, we'll be seeing the Aussie dollar around 80 cents.
So given that, if it reaches 80, and even right now, peaking at 74.5 overnight, surely that doesn't make the Reserve Bank happy?
The Reserve Bank won't be happy. And, of course, that's one of the reasons they announced their bond buying program to basically keep local interest rates down and make it less attractive for global investors to put their money in Australia, keeping downwards pressure on the Aussie dollar. But they're fighting a bit of a losing battle here because the Aussie dollar normally goes up when commodity prices go up. Look at the iron ore price going through the roof. And whenever that happens, the Aussie dollar goes up. So were it not for the Reserve Bank actions, the Aussie dollar would be a lot stronger than it is now. So the Aussie dollar is putting a brake on its rise, but it's not able to stop it entirely.
Shane Oliver there from AMP Capital, and the Australian dollar 74.5. That is what it peaked at overnight. To the Australian share market now, which rose today up 0.3% on the 200 at 6,634. The banks doing well, ANZ the best of the big four, up 1.2%. BHP up 0.6% on the back of continued iron ore price rises. But some travel stocks that did well over the past few days as border restrictions were eased fell. Qantas today down about 4%. A big mover today though, cybersecurity software company Nuix. It had a successful debut on the market, closing at a 51% premium to its IPO price. And with a market cap of almost $3 billion, it is the largest listing on the Australian share market this year. So with the year quickly coming to a close, what are experts predicting for 2021? Sarah Dowling spoke with Paul Zaratis, the head of equities at Ausbil.
So just looking to 2021 now, are you saying that we might have a quick recovery given that the vaccine news looks like we could potentially have a rollout sort of in the around Easter next year?
Yeah, look, I think that we have had a really good recovery already. And part of the reason is that we've been able to contain the virus quite well here in Australia. So we almost eradicated it up until recently. So so from that perspective, it's been good. I think, you know, the vaccine news is a clear added benefit as well. So we are seeing the rate of recovery perhaps coming a lot sooner than you would have expected otherwise. And I do believe that given the settings that we have globally, that is interest rates being incredibly low and governments globally looking to expand into various economies, I mean, expand the economies, means that growth should be quite strong in 21 and also into 22. So the outlook is quite positive in our view regarding equities.
And so what are some of the sectors that will seek to benefit from that?
I think the sectors which have really suffered, they typically tend to be those which are attuned to the economy. So those more cyclical sectors would be the beneficiaries of that. The only issue is that we don't have a lot of cyclicals here in Australia. I guess the biggest set of cyclicals, really, if you want to talk about cyclicals, is probably the banks. And the banks have actually recovered quite nicely in the month of October. And also November, and I think the outlook still remains quite positive for them, so therefore they are a major beneficiary. But also other stocks which are likely to enjoy from a pickup of activity, we've seen that in housing, so those related to housing should enjoy quite a good outcome. Potentially retail, but retail's already had a pretty good run because of the mix of spend that the public have been spending in the sense of staying at home. But now we're looking at those companies which are going to be more associated with out and about, and the sense of travel and other things should also benefit quite strongly in the not too distant future as we open up. So, in fact, we are seeing that already. We've seen escalation in travel and travel commitments really pick up quite dramatically, and that's been reaffirmed recently by Qantas.
And you mentioned retail there. Today we've got some retail sales figures and we've been seeing this big dramatic surge towards online shopping throughout the pandemic. I guess, do you expect that to continue and what other themes do you see for next year?
Yeah, look, I think that because the wider public, and this has been a global phenomenon, that we've discovered the world of digitalisation and also shopping online. So I think that we will see an elevation of activity on online shopping going forward because the convenience and the ability to execute that trade, if you like, from a personal point of view, rather easily. So I think that will remain quite elevated. But the issue is with we've had such a big pickup in activity because of people staying at home and doing things where they wouldn't have done otherwise. It's going to be very difficult to see those sales growth be eclipsed in the next year. So that's the challenge for retail. We've seen a fantastic growth profile, but I think, you know, continuing that level of growth is going to be a bit of a challenge.
Paul Zaratis there, the head of equities at Ausbil Investment Partners. That is SBS On The Money for this Friday, the 4th of December 2020. And for the week, I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter at BusinessRicardo.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.